Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Goes around Alfredson, cuts in front, scores! Jason Papenbeil, shorthanded! Oh, now do you believe? Now do you believe? These guys are good! Scary good!
Thomas Vanek winds up, drills it, and scores!
Holy!
I don't think that Uwe had any idea that Vanek was going to shoot.
And I sure didn't.
Wow.
Oh, I thought he was going to fake the slap shot. Instead, he ripped it.
The Flyers will pick it up and bring it back. Oh, what a hit by Campbell! Holy mackerel! Campbell stepped into his check in the blue line. Fellerow chasing after Campbell. Ryan Campbell!
Across, one-timer scores! Rasmus Dahlin with the overtime winner! Is a delicious finish by the captain, and the Sabres take it 4-3.
Oh, what a save by Miller! Oh, you want to roll a highlight film? Baby, start rolling right now. Paul Mara saying, how did I miss that one? I'll tell you how. How about Ryan Miller?
It is a game day, and it is also early on in 2025 as the NHL has been unveiling quarter-century all-star teams for each of its member teams. And today, the Sabres' first and second quarter-century teams have been unveiled. And you just heard a sample, Marty, of the first team all-stars. It's great to have you with us on Sabres Live. And boy, was it great to hear those calls with those names bringing back those memories.
Yeah, I mean, we can keep rolling that on loop for the next hour, and it'll give us chills, obviously. And look, this is a fun exercise, right? Because it is the quarter century. So from 2000 to, you know, the end of the 2024 year.
First beautiful game of 2000 in Toronto, right?
No, it was here.
Oh,
it was here.
Oh, yeah, the round of the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, absolutely. From that game
yes,
on.
Yes, of course.
I would have made the team, first team All-Star, if it had just been the first day of the new century. But no, it's a great exercise. It's definitely fun to put the names and to kind of debate what you think and where those guys are fitting. And so you have the first team, second team, and we can definitely discuss that with you on social media, because a lot of you guys probably have some opinions on it.
Briere, Pominville, Vanek, Dahlin, Campbell, Miller are your first team stars.
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm going to start with Danny Briere, because I feel like the competitor that he was, he'd be coming over to Buffalo and beating us up if we didn't put him on the first team All-Star, because he was always striving to be the best and making everybody else around him want to be better. That it was practice, games. He would get on the ice for the goalie practice so he could shoot and learn what the goalies were doing. He hated to lose in cards and whatever. So, yeah, he was a competitor and obviously over a point a game in his career as a Buffalo Sabres. So that puts him in there. you know, and everybody remembers the great years that Breer was here and the trade that brought him over from Arizona for Chris Gratton. So he's on there. When you think Breer, what do you think of? Because obviously I got to know him really well. He was my roommate, and so I get an inside look to it. But as a fan and as somebody that watched it from the outside in those years, what did you see?
Okay, so that's interesting because, as you know, like my attachment to this team came from my mother being a day one fan. So
we can't put Gilbert Perreault on that list. He didn't play in that quarter century.
Right. In 2006, ironically with Carolina here tonight, game six to extend the series, Breer in overtime.
Yes.
I had the great fortune of being able to take my mom to a number of playoff games that year, and we were there for that one. At that end, fittingly, to see it so vividly, and when you were starting the question, what I think of Danny, it's never been presented to me this way. The first thing that popped into my head was joy. I feel like Danny Breer brought joy to so many people, whether it was the look on his face, the pure enjoyment that he was having when leading to this team to success.
Yep.
That's what resonates with me all these years later.
And joy, well, if you're going to bring joy to a lot of people, you're going to be considered as a first-team All-Star for not only the on-ice production, but everything else that you bring to the team.
Pominville ends up with two stints with the Sabres, which leads to longevity, in a sense, over the course of the quarter century. So, yeah.
Most games played as a Sabre in the quarter century. Right,
and the points to match, and I mean, there again,
the person that Palmer was. I mean, the
isn't this important?
And
like you're thinking about 100%. The person here, and Jason, like the two stints are so different in some ways. But even just thinking of the small window of that 1 week when, again, kind of ironically, he played his 1,000th game in Ottawa where he had the goal.
Yep.
And then the next game, it's the back end of a home-and-home, and Ottawa's here, and the Sabres win 9-2, but the scoreboard reads 2-9 for Ottawa, 9 for Buffalo, and everybody's like, Pominville! Like, this was his day. And I think that it's so... You can't make this stuff up. And sometimes it just fits, and I think Jason just fit here in Buffalo.
And Jason Pominville embodies the one that had to battle through adversity. Look, he was put on waivers. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the league could have picked Jason Pominville. He was sent down to Rochester, put on waivers, and then called back up because of injuries and never looked back. And had an immediate impact in not just production, but his role. He killed penalties. He was a good power play guy. He played on the shootout. He did so many different things. So, yeah, obviously, Breer and Pominville, both two really good friends of mine, but the impact that they had and the success that they had, both captains of the team, was important. And Thomas Vanek. I mean, I think that was a no-brainer, picking three forwards for the first team All-Star. You can say, okay, there's other players that were fan favorite, but were they as impactful as Breer, Pominville, and Vanek as individual on and off the ice? And Thomas Vanek, the goal-scoring ability, the creativity, even from the time that he came here as Minnesota Golden Gopher and won a national championship in this building, and he was drafted by the Sabres, and you saw the talent that was going to come on. Vanek was incredible and left a very, very significant mark. So those three forwards were no-brainers for me.
Darlene, Campbell, and Miller rounding out the first team. Rasmus will join us coming up here on Sabres Live. It's game day, Buffalo hosting Carolina. Note the start time at 6 p.m. tonight. It's a national telecast on TNT. The game can be heard right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Mm-hmm. If you've missed the announcement, which came out right at noon from the NHL and from the Sabres and their quarter century team, we've just documented the first team. Here's a look at the Sabres second team.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Taken away now and scooped up to center ice and chasing after it is Eichel. Here's Eichel in over the line, going in on goal, he scores! He's looking for help and he gets checked and the Sabres bring it right back again. Back it comes to Roy with a score! Buffalo 3-0 again on the power play. Here's Rasmussen leaving it there. Here's McKee with a shot. He scores! Jay McKee picks up the trailer, slams it home. He takes a screenshot. That's knocked down. Here's Myers stealing the puck. He scores! Tyler Myers, theft of the century.
Martin and Straka will try to beat Hasek here with Buffalo in the lead.
Here's Straka picking up the puck now, walking in on Hasek. Straka to the backhand. Hasek makes the save! Hasek stacks the pads, makes the save, and Buffalo still leads by one.
Well, that is the second team Buffalo Sabres quarter-century squad, and
Now we can have some debate. Now we can have some fun.
Really?
I think there's more debate to be had on the second one.
I would say this. And this sounds kind of ridiculous to say, but I was not expecting to be overcome emotionally as much as I am hearing those RJ calls.
Oh, yeah.
Because I felt like some of those were a little deeper into the archive and weren't the similar plays and calls that we almost always associated. So especially on the Tyler Myers one.
Yeah.
Like, and talk about capturing a moment and just how good everything was going, right? And how that team in 09-10 and was just, you know, finding ways. And man, that was really, really cool. And obviously it was led off by none other than Chris Drury.
Yeah, and obviously Drury, the same impact that he had with, Danny Briere and those teams in 05, 06, 06, 07. Very, very significant in what was the development of a winning team and the President's Trophy. So his impact, Drury was fantastic. Jack Eichel, the talent and the production. And so you have to look at what Jack Eichel did here in Buffalo and with those forwards. But Derek Roy is interesting to me because I was debating, you know, Miro Chetan, and Miro had some great years in the early 2000s, right? Like, until he left for, you know, the New York Islanders. But there was a guy like Chetan in there. There would have been a guy like Maxim Afinagenov. And Max is such a fan favorite. But then I looked at the numbers, and I'm like, well, you know what? Like, Derek Roy had almost 100 more points in the Sabres uniform than Maxim Afinagenov.
Yeah.
So That's significant, 100 points. If it had been 20, mm-hmm. it's not the same thing. But almost 100 more points. Mm-hmm. So I looked at it, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I can see Roizy being there, seasons of 80-plus and whatnot. So I'm like, okay, Derek Roy would be on that list.
Did you vote for him?
I put Derek Roy in there, yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Who did you have?
Well, I just want to say this before we, you know, continue along here, and obviously we continue to take more reaction. I just want to say that, like, for me, and you can learn a little more about this on Sabres.com as mm-hmm. well, like, Eichel was my second choice among the forwards. We've presented yep. six here, first team, second team, and no particular order, per se.
Yep.
But when I was doing this exercise, and again, I'm very honored to be asked to take part in something like this through the league and the team, Vanek was my first mm-hmm. choice. It was without even looking. And you know me, like, I like, before I kind of open my mouth, like, I really want to fact check.
Yep.
That's kind of my thing. And I was like, well, Van is the first one that comes to mind for me. And Jack was my number two. And I know people are going to be, oh, well, how can you say that in comparison to what Briere and Drury? And it comes down to, if we're talking about a best player in this 25-year window, I think of the buzz that Jack created, Jack's aura created, mm-hmm. that draft year created, what he walked into, overcoming injury a couple of times, and I marvel that his skill set was seemingly different. You know what I mean? Like, that's
like, dominant, like,
but his stride, over, like, everything yeah. about him became unique. And for me, as a fan of this franchise from the early years, and yet partly not remembering it fully because I was so young. Yeah. I think, my gosh, like, Perreault was such an incredible skater, yeah, right?
And could, like, do this.
And then watching Jack do the things that he did at the high, I was like, this is so impressive, and I'm grateful that we got to watch it.
Yeah, and I can see the argument there because of the talent and the production, and so obviously you have to try to compare players in different times of the franchise, and, you know, the early 2000, the last few years, and it becomes difficult. Like putting Jay McKee out there, you're thinking, okay, well, Jay McKee, you know, really only played, you know, six seasons in the start of 2000, like 2000 to 2006. And one of those seasons was wiped out because of a lockout. But the impact that Jay McKee had defensively, the shot blocking. And so to me, that is why, like, McKee and Tyler Myers being a rookie of the year and mm-hmm. the impact that he had. You look at Rasmus Ristolainen. There was a long debate for me internally as Risto played so long and still had some really good numbers offensively and, you know, being put in a tough position of being a top pair defenseman.
Some would argue by every coach, meaning they
kept
playing him minutes more than he probably should have.
Probably should, but he kept on being the guy that just wouldn't say anything and went out there and tried to do his best. That was a debate for me now after Campbell and Dahlin say McKee, Myers, Risto, like, oh, how do you put him in? So ultimately, I tried to look at impact. Jay McKee had a great impact on teams that were successful. Tyler Myers won a Rookie of the Year award.
As a defenseman, which has not been done in Sabre history,
yes,
other than him.
Yeah, yeah, so I'm like, oh, that is going to stand out more in the quarter century than what Risto did for the team.
Okay, if you just missed it off the top, the quarter century squads, from Buffalo's standpoint, unveiled today, Briere, Pominville, Vanek, Dahlin, Campbell, Miller, the first team, Drury, Eichel, Derek Roy, McKee, Myers, and Dominic Hasek rounding out the second team. Rasmus, congratulations on quarter century first team for the Buffalo Sabres. I'm going to guess that these are not things you ever think of as a player, but I would imagine you have to feel pretty proud of the accomplishment.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, to be honest. I'm very honored and proud. Yeah, nothing you think about ever. You just want to play your best hockey, but I'm very thankful.
When I retired, I thought, I hope one day I make it to the quarter century team for the Sabres. And I didn't get picked. Well, I was one of the people that picked the player, so I didn't want to pick myself. But
I'm going to give you a little story on this process later on.
Just want to make sure. But, yeah, no, congratulations. Now, you know, some of the guys on the list, obviously, you look at the defenseman, Jay McKee, I got to play with. He's older. You probably, you know, never get a chance to see him. But Tyler Myers is still in the league. You get to play against him. You know, what do you remember from some of those guys? Or even like Brian Campbell, you probably see some highlights of him, you know, doing spinoramas and how offensive he was. And the fans absolutely loved him.
Yeah, you know, I've seen a little bit. I grew up watching SHL hockey, so I haven't seen enough of it. But, yeah, really great players in this league, and to even be a part of that is crazy.
Yeah, you like to hit. And Brian Campbell gave a huge hit in the playoffs one year to R.J. Umberger. Like, and I remember he wasn't a physical guy, but when you hit somebody and the fan responds and love it, does it give you, like, that boost of energy? Does it make you want to hit more guys and just crush them after?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. To get the crowd going, it's that's what you want. But also, I don't only want to go out and hit out there. So I have to find a balance between, you know, trying to play offense and defense and also hit sometimes. But there's for sure times in games you have to hit.
I think that's what's really interesting about you being on this quarter century team is you are there on merit because of everything you've done already. But there is still so much more of your career ahead. And I'm curious, like, what do you want to be as a player in this next quarter century here for the Buffalo Sabres?
Yeah, I want to be way better than I am right now. I want to develop in all the areas in the game, and I think I have way more in me. So, I'm going to make sure I work hard here in the future.
Well, you say that, and it's a logical goal, but where do you think you've come from year one to where you're at now and where you still want to get to?
Oh, yeah, that's from year one, that's night and day, I would say. I came in as a kid pretty much and only wanted to score cool goals. But now I'm more of a complete player. And I can play in both ends and stuff like that. So I've developed since I got into the league, for sure.
You talk about developing. Yesterday and the day before, you guys had practices, and Lindy Ruff talked about battle drills and, you know, in tight and two-on-twos and one-on-ones. Do you get competitive with the guys on the ice, which probably is a reason why you're at the level you are? So when you guys do one-on-ones and two-on-twos, do you want to win every single one of them?
Yeah, for sure. That's why you're out there. That's what's the most fun about this sport, is to compete. And we have some guys in the locker room that wants to compete too, so sometimes you get heated. But that's what I love. That's a part of it.
How would you say the leadership component? You're talking about battling here. How has that part evolved? How are you handling how to talk to your teammates when you're going through tough stretches? How do you take it on yourself, whether it's in-game or after games? Like, how do you feel about that evolution?
Yeah, that's a part I want to grow into more. I feel like that's an area I can improve too. So, you know, I learn every day, but I for sure have gotten more comfortable here in the last, whatever, 3-4 months. So, but yeah. I want to get better at that part too.
Has it changed your relationship with the coaches? And maybe relationship is the wrong word, but your form of communication. Like, Don Granato was very open about how often you were in communication, right? And he appreciated greatly how much you were constantly thinking about the next thing and communicating that. What is it like with Lindy and the staff?
Yeah. You need to take bigger responsibility, for sure. You have to think about all the areas around the team and how to win games. And, you know, I have to step up way more and express what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling, and then it's a constant communication in between the whole team pretty much, but with the coaching staff too.
So the last couple of games, you guys went 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. Lindy Ruff said the forwards like it because there's more ice time. Did D absolutely, usually in my experience, hated going to 7 because it's a little different, but you know, you had some, you know, guys sick and whatever. So what was that like for you, knowing that, okay, we have 7D, we have to roll, but at the same time, you want to get on the ice as much as possible?
Yeah. The D side always joke about whatever the forward wants, they get, eh? So, but no, that was a great call. It makes sense. The forwards, they feel better when they're on the ice more and touch the puck more. So it was time for us to get a challenge and play our best game with 7Ds. And I don't know what's coming tonight. We'll see. Yeah.
But it is Carolina tonight. So can you give us an overview? But I almost hate asking this because the default is you're worried about your game. But you are up against a pretty staunch opponent here in Carolina, so take us through the matchup, if you would.
Yeah, we know their work first team. They're one-on-one pretty much all around the areas. They do man-on-man, so and they play a quick transition games, and they get skilled forwards, and their D loves to shoot the puck, so... It'll be a tough match for sure, but we're up for it, and we just gotta make sure we win our battles. If we do that, we can create some 2-on-1s and stuff.
6 p.m. Does that change the way you're like? Do you eat an hour earlier, or you're just like, oh, whatever? I'm doing the same thing I do usually.
No, you do everything 1 hour earlier.
1 hour earlier.
So today we got to the rink 1 hour earlier, and so on.
So on the nap is different, and
yep.
All of it. So. Oh, I used to hate changes in the time. I was so prepared, like everything was the same thing, and then you have
I'm
to
I'm just
change
laughing your, at how bundled up you are
yeah,
today.
You have like to change your alarms on your phone, you have to change everything. So much so that one time, Henrik Lundqvist showed up an hour late at the rink. He showed up 20 minutes before warm-up because the time has changed and he forgot to change the alarm on
oh,
his phone.
Oh, okay, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought it was because of his routines.
Yeah, no, he just forgot
to change
it.
That would have been better.
That would have been great. I'm not coming at 4
no,
o'clock.
No one will say anything because he's the
exactly.
Henrik Lundqvist.
John Tortorella was pacing up and down the locker room like, when is he going to get here? Did anybody talk to him? And he's looking at me like it's my fault. I'm like, I didn't do anything.
Love it. Good luck tonight. Congratulations again on the nod for the quarter century team and of course, continued success with the foundation.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Rasmus Dahlin in blue and gold. We speak of those jerseys because we have a game-worn home Royal jersey auction ongoing right now. For your chance to grab these one-of-a-kind pieces, go to sabres.com/auction today. We are rolling along on Sabres Live, and the quarter-century teams unveiled first and second quarter-century teams for the Sabres. So check that out on our social platforms and sabres.com. We appreciate Rasmus joining us. Quickly on the game tonight, just as you know, Rasmus was talking about the matchup. Like, when you see it, Buffalo, Carolina, where both are at right now, what was your first thought coming into the rink here today?
My first thought was, okay, so Sebastian Aho, Svechnikov, like the big guys that you should think, Marty Natchez, like those guys for Carolina. But then you realize, as Rasmus talked about, you know, the way that they play as a team and the way that Carolina has had some ups and downs this year. Like, it's not been, like, smooth sailing. I most thought, hey, in the Metropolitan Division, they're going to be a top team. And you look right now, Washington's up there and New Jersey's up there. And so it hasn't been, you know, smooth sailing, but
well,
they do play a very...
They're 11 games over .500 and have 55 points.
Yeah, it's
so
still really good. And we're most likely to see Dustin Tokarski today.
Yes.
Which, you know, obviously is a bit of a surprise. Like, Tokarski just joined the team a few weeks back, has played and won some games, but it should be Pyotr Kochetkov and Freddie Anderson when it's all said and done. But Tokarski isn't there, and we're likely to see him tonight against the Sabres.
4-1 is Tokarski with Carolina this year. He's 2-1-1 lifetime against the Sabres. Carolina has not been good on the road. This is the week before Thanksgiving until now. They have 2 wins in their last 11 games away from home. Only Chicago is worse in that stretch. These are numbers that don't match up with all the nice things people say about Carolina.
No, because they started well on the road at the start of the season. And then, they, you know, yes, they've had to deal with some injuries and some change in the personnel and the goaltending. But, yeah, you think of Carolina, oh, this is going to be a good road team because they play so good as a team. They roll 4 lines. That's how they are. Well, it hasn't worked that way. But I still believe the foundation of that team, the identity of that team, is they are going to roll 4 lines and they are going to just lean and lean on you. And the Sabres, well, the issues with the Sabres have been play well in the first period and then kind of like it, when the domino starts to fall, it falls and knocks everything over. And Carolina waits to get that domino's to fall, and then they take advantage of it.
All right, much more on the Sabres and, of course, around the NHL. Crazy busy last night, so stories emerging from those games, those results, how they impact the standings, and also news today, which is a direct result of Pittsburgh's collapse last night against Seattle. Stay with us on Sabres Live.